With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians come back from an off day and take down the Seattle Mariners 4-1 in an exhibition game at Goodyear Ballpark on Tuesday. The outfielders, Ramon Laureano, Will Brennan, both sort of getting into it, getting some extra base hits, driving in some runs. What did you see out of the Guardians in on Tuesday that you liked?
Yeah, it was about time they won a game, Joe. They'd lost seven straight. I know, the games don't count, the scores don't count, but the performances do. So it was good to see them put together some offense, some timely offense. Not exactly a onslaught, but they did enough. Brennan drove in two runs. Laureano hit a home run, which is all good. And I really liked the way Williams pitched, Joe. I think he went 2 2/3. That's the longest a Guardians pitcher has gone this spring, I believe. Five strikeouts. You know, he gives up a couple hits to start the first inning, then strikes out the side in order. So really impressive, spring training showing so far for Williams. He's got nine strikeouts in about four or five innings. So done a really nice job.
Yeah, and that run that he gave up early in the first inning, you know, he gives up the leadoff hit, and then Jorge Polanco, who just always seems to kill the Guardians no matter what, hit one down the first baseline, and it hit the bag. It hit the first base bag and went for a double. So, you know, of course, he had to give up that hit, but it fluke thing like that when it hits the first base bag and winds up costing him a run. But like you said, he comes back and he strikes out the side and, has two more strikeouts in the next inning. And again, just another solid outing for Gavin Williams. As far as the rest of the pitchers in that game, the relievers came in and combined then for, what, 7 1/3 shutout innings, only gave up one hit after that and a couple of walks there. Tanner Burns, Emmanuel Clase, Nick Sandlin, Jaime Barea, Joey Cantillo, and Jack Leftwich, all pretty solid. Cantillo with a couple of strikeouts in his outing as well. So the pitching side of things looked pretty sharp. They didn't score too many runs, but the four that they did get on the board, like you said, they were able to like you said, Brennan had an extra base hit there in the game. Laureano with a home run. So, you know, looking for a little more power out of the outfield, and that's what happened in that game. But just moving on from that ball game, they move forward. Looking ahead to today, we've got Tristan McKenzie making his Cactus League debut. What's the hope for Tristan, and what do we expect, and how deep do we expect Tristan to go in this game?
Yeah, Joe, that's a great question. I do not know. I mean, you know, he's the last, member of that starting rotation from last season to be rolled out here. I would think, he's stretched out enough to go at least two innings. But there's obviously some health concerns with Tristan. He only made the four starts last season, with the shoulder injury and the elbow injury. But he did come back and make two starts at the end of last season, and his offseason work went well. He hasn't had any setbacks that we know of in spring training. So I would think he'd be in line to throw two innings. This is going to be an exciting day for him just to get out there and face another team in game conditions. And you're not throwing in the backfields anymore. You're not throwing live BP. This one is a game where your stats are counting, your velo's counting, and it'll be interesting for him. But I think right around two innings is where he'll end up, Joe.
Yeah, and they'll be facing the Brewers in Maryville, so it'll be on the road away from Goodyear Ballpark as well. All right, I want to remind our listeners, if you're tuned in, you can get updates directly to your phone throughout spring training and once the regular season starts by subscribing to Guardian Subtext. It's our subscription texting service. It's $3.99 a month to sign up. Go to cleveland.com/subtext or send a text message to 216-208-4346 to get messages from Paul and from me throughout the Guardians season. Oinsie, we wanted to talk a little bit today about the players so far in camp who have sort of impressed us with what they've been able to do, and if we're impressed by what they're doing, obviously the coaches and the staff have probably taken notice as well. Who's somebody who really has stood out to you in the first couple of weeks of camp here and has put themselves in a position to if not make the team, then definitely contribute at some point during the season?
Yeah, my first choice, Joe, is Tyler Freeman. I really like the way he's accepted the role of, bouncing around the infield, playing some center field. He's really kind of opened his arms and accepted that. And he's performed well. He's done a nice job in center field. He's made a couple nice plays. He's played third. He's played short. I don't know if we've seen him at second base yet, but he's hitting .286. He's got a home run, three RBIs. And that's kind of a crowded position, Joe. I mean, Davison De Los Santos, Tana, Brito, there's a bunch of guys kind of competing for that that utility job. And I think Freeman has really handled himself well.
Yeah, and he's in the lineup today. He's batting third. He's playing center field. So, obviously he's getting those opportunities. He's going to get those opportunities in this camp. So that hopefully that continues as the training camp continues here moving forward. As far as my guy, my first pick is a guy who has impressed. It's Will Brennan. Obviously had a nice game yesterday against the Mariners with a couple of hits, but as far as the adjustments that he said he's made to his swing, and he's actually been having a little more success, so it makes it a little easier for you to stick with those adjustments when you see the results, coming through. When you see the ball going for a double down the line or driving the ball out of the ballpark, those adjustments that you made in the offseason, you're not so quick to abandon them because you're striking out or not finding the success in a game situation. And that's really what's happening with Brennan. He's putting himself in a position to definitely be on this roster on opening day, just because he's sort of stuck to that game plan and made those adjustments, and now it seems like it's working. So if that continues, the one thing that was important was that he you know, increase his slugging percentage, that he show more power, that he be more productive in driving in runs. And that's certainly the case right now. His slugging percentage is, you know, 571 in the six games that he's played. So, you know, he's got a double and, you know, a home run. And it's impressive to see that he's been able to stick with that game plan.
Yeah, Joe, they need him to pop this year. You know, they need him to take a step forward. He had his rookie year. You know, he had his ups and downs. You know, he made the adjustment, I think, late in the year to just go back to what had got him to the big leagues. You know, not trying to hit every pitch out of the park, just trying to, you know, be a good overall hitter. And I think we're seeing the results of a hard winners of work from Brennan.
Who else has stood out to you in terms of their performance thus far in spring training?
Yeah, my number two pick is Emmanuel Class A. Now, obviously, I know he's going to be on the club. Both of us know he's going to be on the club. But I think he came to camp in better shape this year. I think his weight is down. He's made three appearances. Nobody's touched this guy. He's given up like one or two hits. You know, five strikeouts in three innings. You know, I like the way he handled the offseason with the trade rumors. This is a guy that has been already traded twice in his career. And when asked about that, he said that it didn't bother him. You know, he's been through this before, you know, that he's confident in himself. And I think, you know, I like the way he's kind of turned the page on last season. He was either very good or very bad. You know, when we saw him, 44 saves, 12 blown saves. But I think, you know, he's in a really good spot, Joe, to have another big, big season at the back end of that bullpen.
And it's nice to see that the strikeout numbers are up for him as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something he wants to work on. But, you know, he also gets that early contact, Joe. You know, mm-hmm. So, he's, if you're going to be a closer and you're going to be kind of a high leverage closer, like a, you know, that really works in the 10th, 9th innings, you're going to have to have that ability to strike guys out. And that's something that took a dip for him last season.
Well, one of the newcomers, one of the youngsters that's impressed me so far and is not striking out a lot is Angel Martinez. He's 22 years old, switch hitter, another one of those, you know, that bumper crop of middle infielders. But he's also got some versatility. He can play in the outfield. And so far in 14 at-bats, a 571 average. He's got two home runs, five RBIs, a 1706 OPS. He's you know what, just the eye test, he's bigger than I thought. You know, I pictured him, or I imagined that he looks like a solid major league type body type of a player. I can really picture this guy not just on the club, but, you know, contributing at some point and being an everyday type player somewhere down the line, and he just seems to come up with big hits all over the place whenever he gets an opportunity.
Yeah, really impressive spring, and he's in that mix too with Freeman and all those guys for the utility job. So I think he's opening some eyes. He's made a good impression, and you know, if he doesn't make the 26 man roster, there's a great chance that we'll see him at some point this regular season.
Yeah, that's I really do think he'll get a call at some point as far as being able to come up and contribute on the roster. Who else do you got?
Yeah, Joe, my third choice is left-hander Joey Cantillo. We talked about him a little bit, you know, regarding yesterday's game, but I really like this guy. I think, you know, we saw, you know, you wonder, Joe, when does the pipeline run dry, the pitching pipeline in Cleveland? you know, especially after, you know, Logan Allen and Gavin Williams and Tanner Bibee, you know, all came up as rookies last year and really established themselves. You know, how many organizations can do that? But, you know, Cantillo, I think, is right behind these guys. He's had a great spring, left-hander, throws hard. You know, he obviously has had some control problems in the past, but I think, you know, he threw two scoreless innings yesterday. I really, you know, like this guy. I think he's got a chance to really help them sometime during the season. And I was thinking, like, some scenarios. Maybe if they eventually do trade Bieber, they're going to need a guy to replace Bieber. You know, I think Cantillo, if he's going well at AAA, he could be a guy. You know, if something breaks down with McKenzie, there's another, you know, option for him, another opening. So I think this guy has a lot of good things in front of him right now.
I mean, and even if nothing breaks down necessarily with McKenzie, but if they want to take it easy with him and give him some time off and you know, take him out of the rotation for a bit just to maybe protect him, if they're worried about, you know, blowing his elbow out at some point, maybe Cantillo can come up and make his debut and get a taste and then go back down. There's nothing wrong with him, you know, bouncing back and forth between Columbus and Cleveland for a little bit, but. You know, chances are if he comes up here and is effective, he could find himself in the rotation as a permanent fixture. Of course, the last of those acquisitions from the Mike Clevenger trade, the gift that keeps on giving, I guess, in terms of the never ending string of prospects that have made their debuts with Cleveland ever since they acquired him back in 2020. My last one, obviously we mentioned Gavin Williams and his start yesterday, but just how impressive he's been so far. This is a guy who's got lead dog stuff. This is a guy who, you know, you close your eyes and you project and you hope and you think that he turns out like Gerrit Cole. He's got that build. He's got that body. He's got that sort of workhorse sort of aura around him, and yet right now he's got two starts under his belt, 4 2/3 innings, like you said, 9 strikeouts, 1.07 whip in a couple of spring training outings, and this is his first big league spring training, his first big league camp. That's the impressive thing, is that he is still learning right now, and as long as he's able to continue to absorb like a sponge, you know, the guys that have gone before him and done it, you know, you think about like a Shane Bieber and the way that he just takes in all that information. And when he was in Gavin Williams' position, this was the moment, you know, this spring training was the moment where Shane Bieber really started to become Shane Bieber. And, you know, after his debut in 18, he came to camp in 2019. And then it was like he took off from there, and that magical 2019 season for him. So, you know, expect the same sort of things out of Gavin Williams. We'll be looking to see if he's able to do that. He's only 24 years old. You got to think about that as well. So Gavin Williams so far, just an impressive spring training.
For sure, Joe. And I like the fact that he was the first guy from last year's starting rotation to make a start this spring. You know, so it said to me he came to camp ready. They didn't have to really kind of handle him or slow play him, that he was ready to go, and he certainly has looked that way in his first two starts.
Yeah, it's been impressive that the little adjustments that he's continuing to make right now. He talked yesterday about the adjustment he made in his windup, where he's not tilting his head back as much, so he's able to keep that, you know, on plane and ride down the mound a little bit more, and it's worked. He's looked outstanding so far. He's got all of his pitches, and he's in command right now. So obviously, it's not going to be a completely smooth ride. Shouldn't expect that all year, but you know, he looks like he's in position to be have a pretty good season if he gets, you know, 25 to 30 starts under his belt. So yeah, those are the players that so far have impressed us in spring training. Obviously, about a third of the way done with games, and this is the part where we get into the grinder, you grind it out stretch. Now we're in the part of spring training where you've gotten to the games, you've played a few. Now you just want the games to be over and the season to be ready to start. So we'll look forward to it happening that way. In the meantime, MLB Pipeline finally came out with their top 30 list. I'm curious to get your reaction, Hoynesy, to the top 30, particularly the top part of that top 30 list. The number one prospect, according to MLB Pipeline right now, is a guy that we've both been impressed with so far this year as well, Chase DeLauder. It looks like he's number one with a bullet right now. The outfielder is ranked above Kyle Manzardo at number two and Brian Rocchio, who at the end of last season had been the number one prospect in the organization.
Yeah, Joe, and, you know, obviously this is one person's opinion, or I guess, you know, MLB Pipeline's opinion. But the thing that strikes me, Joe, is I'm so, you know, year after year, when you looked at Cleveland's top 30 list or their top prospects list, they were all pitchers in the top 10. You know, it was dominated by pitching. And now it's kind of shifted. The top three guys are position players, or four of the top five, or, well, I guess five of the top six guys are position players. So, you know, that shows you, they have, perhaps the drafting philosophy has changed a little bit, or they're just starting to hit on some very good players. But the Lauder certainly has been impressive this spring, Joe. They kept him in big league camp, and he has, he's played. You know, we've seen him in the outfield. We've seen him run the bases. We've seen him hit for power. He's been impressive, Joe. Now, I don't know. Does he make the club? I doubt it. You know, I think he'll probably start the year at Double A. Even he said he'd probably start the year at Double A. But this guy's not far away, Joe. He's on the fast track.
Yeah, and it's not unheard of for him to make the jump from Double A up to the majors. So we'll see if that's the case and if that happens. Daniel Espino at number four. This was a guy who he's been in the top five of this particular ranking, for the last several years, despite really, not pitching all that much and having as many injuries as he has. You know, he's back to throwing now. Stephen Vogt had talked about early in camp about how impressed he was with him. Physically, his stature and his makeup. Is this the year we finally see something out of Daniel Espino as he recovers from shoulder surgery?
Well, I think the Guardians are certainly hoping for that. He's playing catch at 90 feet right now, but there still is no timetable for when he gets back on the mound and when he gets back into competition. But he's certainly has a lot of support from the organization. They want to see this guy out there. He's a former number one pick. You know, he hit 100 miles an hour when he was in high school. This is a guy that they put a lot of time into, and hopefully this year they start to see some results, Joe.
Last year's first round pick, Ralphie Velasquez, who was out of high school, he's a catcher, first baseman type, hasn't played above rookie ball. Ralphie Velasquez ranked number five. Highly regarded outfielder Jason Churio is six, and Juan Brito, a guy who we've seen in this camp, a lot of guys like him, think that maybe he's got a chance to make his debut this year. He's ranked number seven.
Yeah, Brito is starting to swing the bat a little better this spring. Really a good defender. They can play him anywhere on the infield. I just don't know where he fits, Joe. If you move the chess pieces and do you open second base for him and move Jimenez to shortstop if Arias and Rocchio can't win the job? I think that's a possibility, I guess, but I don't see that happening this year. I think they want to keep Jimenez at second base, just like they want to keep Kwan in left field. So, Brito's coming off an impressive year in the minors, but he'll probably, you know, open the season at AAA. But he really kind of an interesting guy, a fun guy to watch, and he's really, really a good defender.
Anybody else in that top 30, either surprise you or stand out in terms of where they're ranked or who they're ranked ahead of or behind?
Yeah, I like, you know, the Manzardo, you know, ranking at number two makes sense to me. I think this guy is really close, Joe. I think if he doesn't make the club out of spring training, we're going to see him fairly early this season. But, I think that they'd like to see him get a few more at-bats at AAA. But, you know, he's had a solid spring as well, defensively and offensively. He hasn't done anything to hurt himself, that's for sure.
They've got Alex Clemmie, another high school draft pick from last season. He's ranked ninth ahead of Cantillo, who's ranked just outside the top 10 at number 11. So, I think that's interesting. It just shows you that, you know, they're ranking these prospects on, you know, potential and not, where they are right now in terms of their readiness to be in the major leagues. If that were the case, then I think the list would look a lot different. But, obviously Alex Clemmie, a big lefty, and Joey Cantillo, another left-hander, those two right there around that 9, 10, 11 in the rankings. And these are guys who could be, part of the rotation in some amount of time. So we'll see. Let's wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Hoynsey, Guardians in action tonight in Maryville, like we said, against the Brewers. Tristan McKenzie on the mound, and we'll recap that outing tomorrow when we talk to you then.
Definitely, Joe.